right now to talk game one, start thinking about game two there. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on of 92.3 The Fan of The Athletic, the always legendary Jason Lloyd. What's up, buddy?
Hi, boys. What's going on?
Oh, just chilling. Just doing the Monday thing.
Just
how about
enjoying
you?
Enjoying a nice Monday.
Yeah, it's warmer out than I was expecting today. I thought it was going to be colder than this.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, listen, we like to leave the weather talk to Andy Baskin, but let me tell you, that Saturday and Sunday this weekend, dude, I was so pissed. Like, I was so miserable. We tried to go for a walk on Saturday. It was like 42 degrees.
Yeah.
Everything hurt. It just Mother Nature was a real bee this weekend. That's all I got on that.
I made my 13-year-old cut the grass on Sunday in hats and gloves as I stood there and watched. Hey, you missed the spot. Come over here.
Well, that's just good parenting, in my opinion. Like, that's the way we do it, Jason.
That's why we have children, to make them do things around the house.
Yes, sir. How much weight should game one carry from what the Cavs did?
How much weight should it carry? You know, I think you felt good going into the series. I think, you know, it's why they sort of navigated to go this route, right? Because they felt good about it. So it kind of went the way I thought it would. So I'm not terribly surprised. I said going in, I thought whoever shot it better from three wins the series. Neither team shot it particularly well from three, but I still think that holds. I think the team that shoots it better from three probably wins. Last year with the Knicks, it was rebounding was the big point of emphasis. And this year it will be again with Orlando, because Orlando's big inside, and I don't think you saw the best version of Franz Wagner the other night. I think he's really good. But Orlando's got to shoot it better. I mean, if you're the Cavs, you're happy you won the game and you didn't play your best at all. But you have to look the other way and say Orlando's starting backcourt probably isn't going to go 1-for-12 again from three. You know, they're not great scorers. Like, that offense, the Orlando offense is dreadful. Like, that's – I was talking to the people who cover the team regularly after the game, like, oh, my God, that was horrible. They said, well, yeah, that's how it always looks. Like, that's just the way it is. They don't have a guard that can really get them into great sets and can give them good looks. Banchero drives everything that they do. And, you know, but I do think that, you know, their backcourt should shoot it better from 1-for-12 from three tonight, you would think. So that gives you a little bit of cause for concern. I thought before the series it goes six. I think it probably still goes six.
So in game one, Jason, things were a little chippy between
good.
The Cavaliers and the Magic. I thought it was great. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved how physical the game was, a little bit of old-school basketball. Do you think that continues, and is there something going on there? Because it did seem like the Cavs were going after Wagner quite a bit.
I Wagner started it. That was a BS shove. I can't remember who he shoved toward the stanchion, but that was unnecessary, completely unnecessary. And I was watching going, guys, not again. Like, somebody do something. So good on Okoro to sort of stand up. And it was a here we are bump. You know, we're not going to take this. And it was funny because I was talking to Tristan after the game the other night. Like, are you here? Like, has one of your talking points been basically, hey, guys, the entire league thinks you guys are a bunch of you-know-whats? And he laughed. He's like, yeah, that's like the only reason I'm here. And he said, like, that's what he's been – one of the things that he's been drilling in them all year long is you can't back down. You can't take crap from guys, because once it starts, it's just going to keep going. And, you know, I do think probably Marcus before Tristan, but I think there's going to come a point in the series, as big and physical as Orlando can be inside, I think there's a point in the series where Marcus Morris and Tristan Thompson can help this team and just sort of, like, even if it's just to jolt Evan, you know, I thought Evan was great the other night. He was great. But even just to, like, sort of snap him out of it, he can be so laid back. And you know, I think he gets misread sometimes, but he's just not that fiery type of guy. But just activate him a little bit. And I just think that, you know, some of these enforcer guys, it is real. I think it's a real thing in this league. And I think that they can hold a role here going forward. Because I do think it is. I think it's going to continue to be chippy, I would say, the rest of the way.
Jason Lloyd on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline talking about game one. We got game two coming up for the Cavaliers tonight at The Rock. I don't know if we're calling it that. I just wanted to call it that. It's not a very authoritative.
I still call it the Q.
It is still the Q. I still call it Jacobs Field, for God's sake. If you were JB, Do you try and change anything from game one at the start of this game, or do you wait to see if the Magic can counter?
No, I don't think if you're the Cavs, I don't think you really change anything. I'm curious to see. I think Orlando probably comes out with Suggs on Donovan tonight. That would be one change I would expect Orlando to make. I would be a little surprised if they didn't. Suggs was on him quite a bit during the regular season, and then the other night they flipped it. The other day they flipped it, and they put Suggs on Darius, which was I was a little bit curious about. So and they didn't, and Orlando didn't really blitz the Cavs because, I mean, Jonathan Isaac is a terrific post defender. Jalen Suggs is a terrific on-ball defender. And so they didn't really double a whole lot coming out of pick and rolls on the Cavs. And Donovan, I was talking to Donovan about it after the game, and he sort of explained the way that they switch is sort of like a double. And he was getting real technical in sort of how he was talking about it. But the fact is that they didn't really double very often coming off pick and rolls until the end, and they inexplicably blitzed Darius 35 feet from the basket and left Donovan wide open on a wing three with about 3-4 minutes left in the fourth quarter that felt like a bit of a dagger shot. So I'm really curious to see more or less what Orlando does, if they change their pick and roll schemes at all, how they guard Evan coming out. If they guard him, I tend to think that they're going to leave him open again like they did the other night. They left him wide open for threes, and he nailed both of them and changed the entire game in 33 seconds. I wrote about that after the game. I thought within 33 seconds, he changed everything because Jamal has to take a timeout after he hits the second three. The Magic immediately call a timeout and they start changing their coverages. And JB counted three different coverages that Orlando went to and they started switching. And it really, like those two threes, I know he didn't hit another one, but those two threes after that, then he started getting switched and had a small on him, had a guard on him. And then the Cavs started attacking him in the post and going at the smalls. And it really sort of opened up his post game. But you have to give something up. And I would expect that Orlando again sort of leaves him open and sees if he does it again because they don't trust that shot. And if he hits those threes, I can't stress how much it changes. If Evan is making three-pointers, it changes the series. It changes the Cavs' trajectory. It changes his game. It changes everything. If the first one or two of those threes that he puts up goes in, it usually signals it's going to be a really good night for the Cavs, and you just hope that continues.
Jason, Donovan Mitchell went for 30 on Saturday. Nick and I said on Friday that he needed to have a big game. He did. It helped the Cavaliers win. Can they win a series? Can they win tonight if Donovan doesn't have a big game?
Yeah. They can win this series, I think, without monster games from Donovan. Going forward, no. They would need monster Donovan games. But this is what's so frustrating about them all year is this is a really talented team. And you saw glimpses of it the other night, you know, I thought Evan played terrific. I thought he was really, really, really good at both ends. Jared Allen really controlled the paint, was really limiting Orlando to one look. Like they had one look at the basket and that's it, because Allen was cleaning up on the defensive end. Darius has been up and down all year. It is what it is with him. You just don't know. Karis could get hot at any moment. The maddening part about Karis, he could give you 35. He could go 0-for-9. And you just don't know until he's been out there for 3 minutes which way it's going to go. But they do have other options. And Orlando is not this offensive juggernaut. So these are going to be low-scoring games. So you can win this series without getting monster performances from Donovan, but obviously you take them. Obviously it helps. And I thought the big key with him early in the game, he had that big dunk. Like he just bursted on a fast break dunk. And I thought like, okay, well the knee's built like that. That's a good sign for the knee that sort of his burst was back. And I don't think he's 100%, but certainly this is the best he's been since the All-Star break, since the game before the All-Star break. And obviously that's a good sign.
Jason, you mentioned Darius Garland, 6 of 11 overall, 2 of 6 from 3, 14 points. JB after the game was talking about those 8 assists as if it was 89 assists and really talking up Darius. Are you buying what JB Bickerstaff was selling about Darius Garland after game 1?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's trying to pump up his guy. 8 assists are great. 5 turnovers, that needs to come down. And it's been a sort of a thing with Darius all year. I mean, Darius and Donovan combined had 9 turnovers. That's not great. from your backcourt. So you'd like to get that cut in half if you can. But, you know, Darius made some good plays. He made some questionable, what are you doing, where are you going with the ball plays? And that's sort of how the entire season has been for him. I don't get it. I don't have a great explanation for it. And you just hope that as the series goes on, as these playoffs go on, the Darius that everybody remembers comes back.
Am I wrong for saying, and I don't mean this literally, I'm not saying trade the man to Orlando, am I wrong that the Magic are missing a player like Darius Garland, a guy who can set up Banchero and take some of the playmaking pressure off him?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. You know, they could use a better – I talked about it at the Open. They could use a better guard that sort of gets them in to their sets, who's more of a threat. Jalen Suggs really has sort of been their Isaac Okoro. He is sort of a defensive, tenacious guy who is their lockdown defender, who's been a terrible three-point shooter, really sort of broke out this year. His three-point shooting numbers this year and Okoro's are almost identical. And then Isaac doesn't take a three in game one, and Jalen shot terribly from game one. So, you know, the playoff sort of separates what's real and what's not. And, you know, I've talked to coaches around the league who are curious to see which Isaac Okoro shows up for the Cavs in this postseason, whether or not he hits shots, because he's got a lot of money at stake if he does. And for the Magic, someone like a Darius or like a Trae Young, I think Trae Young fits perfectly on this team, just in terms of someone who can stretch the floor, who defenses have to fear. Because right now, there's no shooter on the Magic that JB is circling that name or that number on the whiteboard before the game and saying, we have to know where this guy is at all times. Like, that guy just doesn't exist.
You know, the Cavaliers, Jason, in that game one scored 97 points. The Magic are 21-2 this year when they hold their opponents under 100. The Cavs got a little bit lucky with that one, pulling out the win, scoring under 100. Do you think that we see, like, low-scoring games throughout the rest of the series, or will the Cavaliers get it going on the offensive end?
No, I think it's going to be low-scoring games. I think it's, you know, we called it a rock fight before the series, and I think you saw a lot of that, especially – third quarter the other night, I felt like Orlando was imposing its will. Like, they were getting a lot of stops. They were forcing a lot of turnovers in the paint. And it was just sort of ugly, messy basketball for about 5-6 minutes in the third quarter. And that's really when they cut into that lead. And I can't remember what they got it down to, but they got within a couple of possessions. And it felt like this is how they want to play. This is the series that they want because they're not a great offensive team. They're very much defensive minded. And if the Cavs can, you know, they need to push the pace. They need to get out and run. So often playoff games become sort of half-court games, and you're playing into Orlando's strength. If you let them get into a half-court defense and a half-court set, you're playing right into their hand. But when you can get out and run, and we saw that early, you know, the Cavs, when they made a couple of early threes, they were transition threes. They were out on the run. That's when they're going to be at their best. And the Cavs just went ice cold from three. And, you know, Orlando had something to do with that, but also the Cavs had a lot of good looks that just didn't go in. So I can't remember that. They made three or four threes, I thought, within the first couple of minutes of the game, and then they didn't make another one like the second. Like, it was crazy. But, you know, I do think these are going to be low-scoring games. It's very much what we saw with the Knicks series last year, where defense wasn't the issue for either team. The Cavs just couldn't score enough. Last night they did. And, again, I'm curious to see the game Donovan has. If Orlando makes the switch and puts Suggs on him and they don't double and they just let Donovan go one-on-one against Suggs, that's a matchup I'm really curious to see. I'd be shocked if Orlando does not make that change. I'd be really surprised if Suggs is not on Donovan, and I'm curious to see what that looks like, Donovan versus Suggs one-on-one.
Jason, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. And hey, the colder the weather, the better it is for kids to mow the lawn. So keep that going. And you know, maybe
character.
Even when it's hot, put a parka on him. Like, let him learn.
Builds character. That's right. Puts hair on their chest.
Jason, be good, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. See you guys.
Jason Lloyd on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic on with us just moments ago talking about Evan Mobley's big start to game one, hit those two quick three-pointers, ended up in double digits. Overall, easily his best playoff game as a Cavalier and in his young career. And I love that Jason talked about that impact of hitting threes. I would be shocked if Evan got those same threes tonight? I mean, because they were just laying off him. Like, they weren't even trying to close out. Like, they were still walking towards him, but it wasn't the kind of blitz out that you see.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's something you try because, much like Jason said, when Evan's hitting those shots, it just makes everybody else around you dangerous. And honestly, if you think about those two shots that he made early on in that game, I don't think it's a coincidence. It was a part of a huge run from the Cavaliers where they were shooting a ridiculous amount from three before they went cold in late in the second quarter. Or, sorry, halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the Magic are going to shoot significantly better as we go throughout the series?
I don't know. Jason kind of seemed like he thinks they will. And I know their backcourt was god-awful in game one, but, like, listen, if I'm going to give Orlando credit for slowing down the Cavs' offense and they only scoring, 97 points, I kind of got to give the Cavs credit for making a bad offense worse. So, like, I think as long as the Cavs keep playing defense the way they did, which was we're going to clog up the paint, we're not going to let Banchero or Wagner or any of these guys – even get into, like, the mid-range and kind of take those shots, as long as they put it all in the three ball. Like, Orlando is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the NBA. I don't know why that would change in the playoffs, where all of a sudden everything becomes out of the half court, where they have shown to be the worst version of themselves. You?
In terms of, do I think they're going to shoot better?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll shoot better than 21% from three.
I don't – like, it's tough. Like, unless you have somebody do it, unless Banchero gets hot, which is plausible.
The thing you have to remember, this is an NBA team, okay? They're paid to, and they're in the playoffs. And they're a five seed.
I think they're the Cavs last year. Like, and granted, I thought they responded better to the shell shock than the Cavs did at any point. In game one, I thought they responded better and quicker to, oh, my God, this is the NBA playoffs, and this is a different brand of basketball than the Cavs did last year in their game one. But I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe tonight they come out and they make it a game. Who knows? Maybe they get the win. But, like, you know, my number one concern right now is the Cavs' consistency, more so than are the Magic going to come alive. The only guy that I think has a chance to really take this over from Orlando is Paolo Banchero, and I don't know he has the help necessary.
I mean, you talk about some of those guys who maybe could step up. I don't know that they can, frankly. I mean, listen, Paolo's going to be a superstar in this league, I think. This is just his first playoff series ever in his second season, which is, by the way, pretty impressive for him to be able to go into an organization that hasn't had success for a better part of a decade, mm-hmm. You know what I mean, and get them to the postseason. But there's really just not a lot of help right now. Now, the one thing I would say, they do play excellent defense. They're known for that. And so if the Cavs do have an off-night shooting and they keep it close, anything can happen.
Yeah, getting back to our version of Paolo Banchero, I got to say, I want to see them use this series. Now that I've seen who I think Orlando is, and there's just, to me, the biggest problem about shooting is it's all about the guys that already played. I don't think you're going to mix up the bench a lot, whether it's Goga Batadze or...
That sounds good to eat.
I think we just had some of it here live from the Harry Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. Great entree.
But we all, you know, like, I think they just are who they are. I think this series is about keeping Donovan healthy and engaged. And I think this series is about, let's see how much we can unlock Evan. Mm. And if the Cavs even went so far as to kind of force that, I'd be okay with it. Because now he's proven he can make a couple shots here and there wide open. You know, whether it's this round or the next round, he's not going to get those same looks wide open. So to me, this series becomes let Donovan cook and pick your opportunities with Evan, because everything that Jason said about unlocking Evan, if Evan can just hit a couple threes a game, it's the kind of thing that could turn Boston into being an interesting series. It's the kind of thing, because that all of a sudden Donovan finally has an offensive Robin to his Batman, and he never had that. I mean, God bless Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, George Niang, Mike Conley. Like, he had some nice players around him. Evan's got some things that that Donovan's never had in the playoffs. That's something that I think we can look for the rest of this series, win or lose in any of these games, how are these guys playing off each other as Darius kind of dips out to whatever the hell Darius is doing?
Such a great point about Evan Mobley and his ability to maybe elevate his game or take it to the next level. I think it's a little bit premature to maybe make that declaration, but we've seen him do it in the past, so we know he's got it in him. Can he do it consistently? That I don't know that I'm 100% confident that he is, but he did it in that game one, and they're going to need more of that, to your point, Nick, if they can get through this series and get to Boston, because Boston is a juggernaut. I'm not sure how much you watched of those games, the other games this weekend, but yeah. You know, they just absolutely dismantled the Miami Heat. That game, I know the Heat kind of came back and made it look a little bit closer than it was, but that was a 30-40 point blowout.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about Boston is the opposite of Orlando. Boston lives and die by the three, and I would not be surprised if in a game against Miami you saw them die by the three at least once. So that matchup's going to require the exact opposite of what this matchup requires. But I think the thing with Evan is I don't think Evan lacks in skill. I think Evan is still growing into himself confidence-wise. And I think that's why this series all of a sudden has this secondary importance if you can keep him going, because that confidence, I think, is the only thing holding him back. And that's why I thought, you know, going into game one, it was like, this could be an Evan Mobley series. Now Donovan scoring 30 in game one, you kind of wonder if Donovan could just take over the damn thing.
He didn't look hurt to me.
Yeah, and anything you get on Evan is you know, the cherry on top. But, like, that's all I felt Evan is missing. And I think this series has the chance to give him that confidence. He's got to go out there and stay persistent, especially with that three-point shot. But, like, that to me is what this series is about, because you're going to need that confidence going into the second round. No, we're assuming it's Boston, but no matter if it's Boston or Miami, you're going to need that confidence in the second round. And I love what I saw out of Evan here early.